From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, how to cope with a mid-season players break, what steps to take, what transfers to make. It's another Fantasy Forecast from the podcast, The Dare to Tip, Robert Snodgrass. Hello, FPL manager. Thanks for joining us. Another essential half hour of information coming your way, courtesy of Jack Lang out of The Athletic. Jack, nice to see you.
Hi, James. Likewise.
Thank you very much. Also here, Adrian Clark, former player and now football authority.
No one's called me that before, but I like it.
All right. And Lee Bonfield out of the FPL family.
Hello, James.
How's life been in the Bonfield household this week?
Hashtag unbearable, I can tell you. Yes, very difficult.
This following Sam Bonfield's inspired shout on this show last week for Robert Snodgrass, which saw her... Well, helped her towards a whopping 91 points. I don't know, she probably hasn't mentioned this.
No, it's the first I've heard of that, James. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Yeah, thank you.
She's now in the top 1,000 in the world. What is it, 7 million managers? She's number 836.
Doing all right, isn't she?
Very nice.
Doing all right. The Snodgrass shout from last week helped.
Yeah. Mm. You're in our pundit league, you're sixth. Just over 100 points behind her, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm about 80-odd K now, overall rank, and about 100 points behind Sam. Sounds a lot, doesn't it? But I'm doing okay in the Pundits League. Doing okay.
Brilliant. In second place in our Pundits League, Jack Lang pushing Julien Laurence down to third. That is sad,
Ooh,
Jack.
For him.
Yeah. What was behind your rise this week?
Well, it's been a two-week Mohamed Salah masterclass, really. Right. Triple captain and then captain.
Yeah,
and that has really, really dragged me up the rankings.
Sounds so obvious, and yet I believe there are people who had Salah in their ranks and didn't captain him last week.
Thanks for that, James. Yeah, now I picked the wrong skipper, unfortunately. I went with Aubameyang, who's got an unbelievable record at Burnley. Arsenal always used to beat Burnley. But I picked the wrong guy. I've got Salah, but unfortunately just the 16 rather than the 32.
Right. 49 points for you last weekend. This week, it's going to be better. I say this week, it's actually the next 2 weeks, because that's the remarkable thing about game week 26. It's spread across 2 weeks as part of this mid-season player break. Now, the fixtures this weekend and next weekend all count towards the same game week, so it's not like anyone's blanking, even though this weekend there's only four fixtures. When you're sorting your teams out for 11:30 this Saturday morning, remember to include the fixtures for next weekend. Ailey.
There's some confused looks in the studio here, but I think we get it.
All right. I can go over it again if you want.
No. Well, you just got to be patient. Especially if you're an owner of the big hitters at Liverpool, you just got to wait that extra week for the bacon to come home.
It's going to be tough though, isn't it? Because you've got a load of press conferences that we're all used to seeing in the lead up to the weekend, and that defines some of our decisions around FPL. Yet for the second batch of games in this game week, we're not going to get that information. So might be some flyers being taken, some free hit chips knocking about, who knows?
Well, absolutely. Players who may or may not come back from injury in time. Some people have been suggesting that after Saturday 11:30 is a good time to play the wild card. And that's actually something we'll be addressing in our question of the week later on. Many thanks to everyone who replied on that. Mo Salah, by the way, Adrian, is the most transferred in this week. Is it possible to have a good team without Mo Salah now?
Very difficult, I would imagine. I haven't had him until this point, which probably explains why I'm mid-table in our own league. I went down the Mane route, but I've been desperately trying to crowbar both of them into the same team. But I've just as I was about to do it, Mane got himself injured. But it'd be something I'm looking to do. But now that I've got Salah, there's no way I'm letting him go. He's been dynamite.
Almost a million people bringing him in the last week, which is extraordinary numbers. Second on the list of most transfers in is Raul Jimenez of Wolves, who's looking an increasingly reliable option, particularly with the likes of Jamie Vardy blanking.
Yeah, I think for everyone that's thinking of getting rid of Jamie Vardy, he's the obvious pick, and he's been incredibly consistent of late as well, ticking over the FPL points week after week. And I think he's got three home games in the next four, and we know how good they are at Molineux. So, yeah, he and his Wolves teammates are all good picks.
Right. What about Jamie Vardy? Did you have him? Have you got rid?
I have him right now in my team, and yes, I am considering moving to Jimenez. Over the next couple of weeks, I am considering hitting the wildcard button, and if I do that, then Jimenez will be in for Vardy, I would think.
Leicester actually play Wolves in this game week, although it won't be until next weekend, etc., and so on. And then after that, they've got Man City at home. Following that, the fixtures look a lot easier for Leicester. So because it's Jamie Vardy, it's kind of scary not to hang on to him, Jack.
Definitely. I've got Vardy, and well, I'm sure like everyone who has him, I've got a slightly itchy trigger finger. But yeah, the promise of those sunlit uplands just beyond the tricky fixtures is keeping me involved at the moment. I've got rid of Soyuncu this week just because their defence seems to have really hit a brick wall since Ndidi got injured. But I still see potential for Vardy. And to be honest, my indecision is helped by the fact there aren't loads of strikers jumping off the list of players. Jimenez is really the only one who tempts because, you know, other options in a similar price bracket, Abraham being the main one, have really gone off the boil.
Right. Who have you got as your three strikers at the moment?
I've got Danny Ings, yeah, who's got amazing fixtures, Vardy, who I'm keeping, and old Jack Lang favourite, Jordan Ayew, just knocking around.
Have you?
Yeah, of course.
How's that worked out for you?
Over the course of the season, very well, because he's very cheap. And I think he's scored me 9 points on two or three occasions.
Good answer.
On Vardy, I'm more drawn to Vardy now than previously, because I think that this little mini blip won't last for that much longer.
You don't see a tactical motive or the birth of a son or some reason that's changed things for him.
I think everybody just has a little wobble during the course of a season. And let's face it, even though you look at the fixture and you think, City coming up, is that so bad? He scored against City at the Etihad. He normally delivers in the big games. Right. And then he's got an easy-ish run of fixtures. I'm actually thinking of bringing him in. Although I did have the same logic with Raheem Sterling, who's been woefully out of form. Right. I thought, get him in. This is the time when he kicks on, and of course he's not kicked on.
How long ago was that?
That was last week.
Oh, last week, right. Yeah. Hasn't had a goal or assist since the turn of the year.
I know, but I was desperately trying to get a pick-me-up, an unexpected one, and he went lame, didn't he? Got injured.
The world zigs, Adrian Clarke zags.
There you go.
Wow. All right. Well, dare we ask Adrian his thoughts on the Game Week 26 fixtures? We dare after this. Game week 26, by the way, it's split over two weekends. Coming up this weekend, one of the four fixtures, Man City, West Ham. And Adrian, that's one that you are keeping a particular eye on with regard to your FPL team.
Yeah, because I've got Sterling. I don't think he's going to be fit for the game. It's the big question is, who do I bring in? The obvious temptation is to go for another City player because it's West Ham at home. And I don't know about you, but I've been really unimpressed by them. Moyes will go there and have, I think, 20% of the ball, top whack really, no more than 25%. I don't think he's going to attack the game. And I think that's asking for trouble against City at the Etihad. And I know they've not been firing, but
A lot of possession, a lot of chances without necessarily converting.
So this is the one. Now, do you go down the Mahrez route, the Bernardo Silva route? Because I think one or both will probably play in Sterling's absence. Mm. I think Mahrez is probably the best bet. Sterling, one assist all season.
All season.
Oh, wow. One assist. Okay. Mahrez, who's played less often, has seven assists, and he's obviously a lot cheaper. So I'm drawn towards Riyad Mahrez, but I've got an essential differential a little bit later on in the show that is interesting me too.
Just a word of warning, though, Adrian. Obviously, Man City don't play in game week 28. It's a blank there. So if you're going to do a straight swap to another City player, as good as that might look for West Ham this week, and I agree with you, some of their defending was pretty comical last week against Brighton, wasn't it? You might be setting yourself a problem for the future there. So it's one to think about.
What do you think, Jack Lang?
Well, I've got De Bruyne. I've had De Bruyne all season, and I won't be getting any more City players unless something drastically changes. I had a brief flirtation with Mahrez, only for him to be benched the week I brought him in.
Right.
Classic Pep rotation, but I'm not too fussed about not having major City coverage at the moment.
Okay, Man City, of course, facing West Ham, featuring the incredible Robert Snodgrass. Is Sam keeping him in her team?
There's a name I haven't heard much this week. Do you know what? No, I don't think she is. I think given that the fixtures for West Ham coming up are City away and Liverpool away, I think it's a good time to actually just bank the points and move on, which I think she's considering doing.
Right. Jack, Norwich, Liverpool for you. That's next weekend, is it?
It is, yep. Got a little wait here. And obviously Liverpool have been in the news this week because Jurgen Klopp wanted to preserve the rest that he promised his players. That's music to the ears of any fantasy manager, isn't it? Knowing that the players have had a proper break. He's picked a very consistent side over the last couple of months, which is again, great for fantasy managers. I think everyone has got an eye on the date that they could win the title and whether that will mean rotation in the league,
right,
with attentions turning to Europe after that. But for now, I think it's a great situation for fantasy managers. We know pretty much what team he's going to pick.
Right, at least for the next six game weeks.
Yeah, I think so. And as someone who's had two Liverpool defenders all season, I've had both fullbacks, it's obviously Salah's explosive performances have caught the eye, but it's the clean sheets that I'm really enjoying. 9 out of 10 in the league, and that is just...
I mean, that's absolutely a great strategy to go double in defence. However, if you look at the fixtures for the next five or six, they are defences that could get pummeled, you know, fours, fives. I know that Klopp's going to do a bit of rotating around the Champions League once the Atletico Madrid fixtures turn up, which is, first leg is after the Norwich game, so in the lead up to 27.
Mm.
So there could be a bit of rotation, but those fixtures, I mean, you know, West Ham, Watford, whose new manager bounce seems to have flattened out somewhat, Bournemouth at home. These are all fixtures where they could go big, you know.
What about the other side of Stanley Park? Everton, who actually have got the joint second best record in the Premier League behind Liverpool since Carlo Ancelotti took over. Lee, they're taking on Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
the first part of this game.
It sort of immediately catches the eye, that fixture, doesn't it? Not least because of what you just said about Everton. But, you know, in my mind, I hadn't done a lot of analysis on Crystal Palace up until researching for this game. But I did, in my mind, think, they're not doing that great. Maybe they're struggling a little bit. They're really struggling. They've got two wins since game week 9, which seems a long, long time ago. So, quietly, they've been doing a really... pretty poor job in the Premier League, frankly. So Everton in form, Palace, you know, in long-term dire straits, frankly. We know that I think Palace will stay up because defensively they are good enough. We know that they can keep teams out, but they don't score enough goals. That is their problem. So going away to Goodison, where, you know, Everton themselves have only kept one clean sheet in the last six, but given Palace's, you know, difficulties in front of goal, I think the Everton defenders are good picks. And I think if you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well, I think he'll do well in that game.
Right. So. Any Everton defender you'd signal for anyone who's looking to get in on that action?
It's kind of take your pick territory.
Luca Dean,
and all for
different
reasons. Yeah, Luca Dean, because, you know, we know he's got some pedigree from last season. He's on set pieces and corners.
And I think at home he averages about 5 points a game as well.
Yes, very good home record. Yeah, very good home record. And then, of course, Yerry Mina got a couple of goals against Watford. Was it last week or the week
it
before?
Was. Very recently, it was. Yeah. Jack, give us the stats on Yerry Mina.
Because... Oh, we've got some Yerry Mina stats. Let's hear it.
Well, yeah, they're slightly fluffy, but I watched him a lot at Palmeiras in Brazil, and he scored, I think, 9 or 10 goals in what was a 1.5, 2 year stay, and he was renowned for being this massive threat from set pieces.
So last weekend's brace might not be a flash in the pan.
Not necessarily. No. I think there could be more goals ahead, especially we know Everton have got great set-piece takers, so there could be more chances.
He seems very loyal to Yerry Mina alongside Holgate. I would go with Sidibe, the right-back, not least because he's being used quite often as a right wing-back. Sometimes they start in that formation. Often during the second half, he brings on Seamus Coleman and pushes up Sidibe to be practically a right winger. And as we've seen this season, that boy can cross and he can deliver the ammunition for Richarlison, who's great in the air, and for Calvert-Lewin, who is also one of the best headers of a ball in the Premier League. So I think Sidibe is someone I'm keeping an eye on. Haven't got him at the moment,
right?
But I would definitely consider him.
The one thing about Everton players, in whatever position they operate, is that their fixtures after Crystal Palace this weekend are not great. They're away at Arsenal, home to Man United, away at Chelsea, home to Liverpool before a clash with Norwich. Would you hesitate then to leap in?
Potentially, yeah. And that's why if you were going to go Everton defence, you know, shout out to Mason Holgate, who out of all the ones that we've mentioned is the cheapest, I think, 4.4. A couple of assists recently as well. He gets in there. He's in the box in on corners. So, yeah, if you want to dive in on Everton, but maybe tentatively with those fixtures, maybe Holgate.
Okay. A couple of other fixtures that we'll be waiting till next weekend for, but once again, part of this game week. Arsenal taking on Newcastle, which, I mean, it's reminiscent of the Burnley game in that it looks tremendously promising for FPL points from the Gunners. And also Chelsea Man United, which is possibly less appetising.
Yeah, I don't see a great deal of value in the Chelsea United. As the owner of Aubameyang and Martinelli, I'm certainly... going to keep hold of those guys ahead of the Newcastle game. I think Newcastle will pack the defence and Arsenal haven't exactly been wiping the floor of anybody. I mean, it feels like ages since Arsenal thrashed anyone. Mm. It's quite depressing, really. But
not scoring a lot of goals since Arteta's been there. They've sort of tightened up a bit defensively. Mm. But my feel is that they're not scoring many goals.
No, what I think Arteta might do is drop Lacazette. He's not been in good form. Put Aubameyang up top and then have Martinelli and Pepe on the flanks. That's what I would probably do for this Newcastle game.
If you're listening, Mikel. There you go. Any other fixtures which are influencing your selections or possible transfers this week?
I suppose Sheffield United against Bournemouth provides a bit of a dilemma for a lot of fantasy managers. Lord Lundstrom, of course, a perennial favourite this season, hasn't started the last two matches. They've got Sander Bergin. They've brought Mo Bezic back into the side the previous game. So that's a concern. I've got him, like most people. I paid rock bottom price for him, so it would take a little bit more than two games out of the side for me to sell him. He's going to be in my side this week, but certainly I'll be monitoring the team news on that one very carefully. And if he's not in it, I think there are going to be massive sales. Not sure I'll join them just yet. But we'll
okay.
See.
Sheffield United among the quartet of teams that will blank in game week 28, which is maybe another motive to move... You know, to move Lord Lundstrom on.
Yeah, I think he's got to go with a heavy heart. I think he's got to go. Probably yes. I think I've been eyeing up a few replacements. Well, I've looked at Willy Bolly actually from Wolves, and actually the Wolves fixtures in the short term look pretty tricky, but then from about three game weeks from now look great. And I think when he comes back into that central defensive setup, he makes them watertight. Willy Bolly, he's a colossus. So I like him.
I had similar train of thought last week when I did my wild card. I was just a little bit bored of the Lundstrom-Soyuncu axis. So I ripped up my team and started again, and I did go for a Wolves man. I went for Doherty, I think he's not cheap, but he will provide points.
Doherty, who will set you back 6.1 million in whatever fantasy money is.
I know, 6.1 million. Not cheap, but yeah, I've got him and Gomez and one other at the moment, and I think Cabasele's place is under threat.
One other. Did he arrive in the January transfer
window? He did. Oh. Right.
Lord Lundstrom at the moment on 5 million. So, yeah, you do have to have a kind of spare million floating around in your account. Excellent. Remember, you can get all the latest team news right up to Saturday morning's 11:30 UK time deadline on the Premier League's team news page at premierleague.com. Up next, let's have a look at the answers to this week's Wednesday tweet, which was, with an extra week between game week deadlines, is the mid-season player break the perfect time to wildcard, and what are your plans? Right, mid-season player break, everybody. It is exciting. Is it a good opportunity to wildcard? And what are your plans going to be? Loads of listeners getting in touch. Here's one from Lee Bonfield. Oh. Lee, it's you.
Did I respond to the tweet?
You did.
Oh, wow, okay, good.
Brilliant. Did you not know you were coming in anyway?
Yeah, I'm kind of featuring on a show. This is like some weird Inception stuff going on here.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Well, what you said was, I'm considering the wild card next week. Team this week looks okay, but the Everton fixture swing in game week 27 and game week 28 and Lundstrom, Soyuncu, Rico problems at the back could mean wholesale changes. So,
very intelligent comment, that, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think, Jack?
I think your voice lent it a lot of gravitas, James. with the wild card, I think I don't play a wild card based on exterior factors. I base it only on my team. Am I happy with my team?
Yeah.
And if there are four or five or more players that I'm not happy with, that's when I wildcard. I don't care if it's double game weeks. I don't, you know, obviously you have those things in mind, but I'm not going to wildcard just based on a long period, for example, until the next deadline. So, I mean, being very smug and happy with my team, I won't be wildcarding now.
2,454th in the world.
Glad you've memorised that. Right. Thank you.
What he said is how I feel.
Yeah. There you go, Lee. That's the answer to you.
What does Sam think? I think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the more relevant point.
The amount of tweets I get asking, can Sam look at this team for me, please, Lee? I'm not interested in my opinion. Yeah, rightly so.
Murphs says, the World Cup will be used next game week. It's time. Mars says, bit early for me. I want to know what's happening for game week 31. Might do it in 29 or 32. Because, of course, there are those double game weeks. Mohammed, meanwhile, tweets with a list of potential changes, which you certainly need a wildcard to pull off all of these. Bolly going out. KDB to Sonny, which apparently
KDB
is
KDB out. risky.
It's a shout, isn't it? Vardy to Aubameyang. Yeah, that's something that has a logic to it. Gomez to Virgil van Dijk. Richarlison or Traore to Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes is a player who is managing to fly still under the radar despite consistently returning.
Yeah, I think I brought him up on an earlier podcast this season and he didn't deliver right away. He is a streaky player. He's someone that has a lot of shots, gets himself into great positions to score, Harvey Barnes. But as a Leicester player, up until recently, he's fluffed his lines. At West Brom, he was clinical.
Yes. Yeah.
So I always had confidence he'll come good. Now that he's got the belief back, he could be one to go with. But would I swap him for Richarlison or Traore? I don't think so.
So Barnes, the last three game weeks, has had the full 90 minutes on two occasions, the other one played 82 minutes, and he's returned 7 points, 12 points, and 7 points again. He's looking good.
He's the form player, isn't he? I mean, I think a lot of FPL managers are stacked up with the likes of Maddison and Vardy, a few less so on Maddison actually recently. So if you're looking to get onto Leicester and in a differential way, then I think it's Barnes. But for me, I'm not sure that Leicester are showing enough form as a team for me to really think that their midfielders or their strikers are going to get kind of double-digit hauls. So it's more of a team thing for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the time has come to evaluate selling Leicester players rather than bringing them in. I think they are a better team than they've shown recently. But
they have got good fixtures coming up after the next two game weeks.
Yeah, so it's a wait and see for me.
We know that they don't blank in game week 28. So as a result of the League Cup semi-finals, they are going to play in game week 28 and they are away at Norwich, which of course is a pretty nice fixture. So if you are thinking about getting rid of Vardy and Maddison and Soyuncu and all these guys that we've had in our teams historically, just bear in mind that you might need these guys in 28 to cover the other blanks from Man City and Arsenal and Sheffield United, etc.
All right. Well, after poo-pooing the Harvey Barnes suggestion, which differential selections would the guys advise? We'll be finding out after this. Essential differential, everybody. Looking for diamonds in the rough, essentially. Players with less than 10% ownership who we think are going to score big in the near future. Who have you got for us, Jack?
Well, often this section is cheap players, but I'm going to give you a differential that's fairly expensive, and that's Heung-min Son.
Or Sonny.
Sonny, as some people insist on calling him. So I've been kind of juggling the last midfield spot in my team for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I had Dele Alli, like a lot of people. And back then, I think the last time I was on, I told you that I was aiming to get Son in at some point.
Right.
So I went from Alli to Martial to Mahrez, just trying to get nice fixtures because I had a free transfer. And eventually I did get back to Son. And he's scored in both games since I brought him in. Scored in 4 in a row in all competitions, when you include the FA Cup games. And we know that Spurs aren't playing that well at the moment. They do miss Harry Kane, even if Son and Lucas do a pretty good job of filling in. But Son is just such an electric player. He's always having shots. He's now taking a lot of corners, actually, since Eriksen left. That's music to my ears. And yeah, I just think he's one of those players who has potential to be in the top bracket of what we think of as, you know, the blue chip players, Aguero, Salah. He's not quite there, but I think he could definitely reward people who take a chance on him over the next few weeks, and the fixtures start to get really nice now.
Took the winning penalty in the FA Cup as well, so is he on penalties for Spurs? If he is, then yeah, nice pick.
Lovely.
9.5% ownership, so just squeaking into the differential category. 10 million though, the price, if you were looking for a little bit of Spurs action but had around 6 million less in your pocket, Jack, who would you recommend?
Well, you'd probably want to go for Japhet Tanganga, wouldn't you? Who, you know, he's come into the side, he's impressed.
Only 4 million.
Only 4 million, which is great. Obviously, the fact that Tottenham sold Danny Rose in the window is good news because Tanganga can play at left back. But equally, the fact that he can play centre back, he was in a back three against Southampton in the Cup in midweek. Mourinho obviously likes him. And when Mourinho gets one of these young players who, you know, he can put a lot of his faith in, maybe use him as a shield. All that criticism that Mourinho never uses young players, he'll fixate on one, won't he? Like swap McTominay and just really stand by him through thick and thin. It's looking like Tanganga could be that guy. And even though Spurs aren't the best at the back, I mean, the price is all you need to know, isn't it? Mm.
Fixtures for Spurs: Aston Villa away this weekend, then Chelsea away, Wolves at home, Burnley away, Man United at home, West Ham at home. So, yeah, middling.
But Son scores against big and little teams, so he's fairly fixture-proof, I'd suggest.
Right. Excellent. Adrian?
I'm looking at Liverpool. As I said, Sterling is on his way out of my team because of the injury, and I'm looking at Liverpool against Norwich and ahead of that with the fixtures, which are pretty favourable. And I'm looking at Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Ooh, now, this is a guy that doesn't create that many goals or hasn't done throughout this season so far. But since he came back into the fold in January, he's played pretty much every game. He does get taken off, so you're going to lose a point almost every time he plays. He scored in his last two. And when I just look at the fixtures, I think Liverpool are going to rack up a lot of goals. Surely he's going to pick up one or two along the way. He's only 6.2 million and less than 1% of people have him.
Yeah, if I didn't have three Liverpool players, I'd be really tempted. But which Liverpool star would you drop for him?
Well, I don't have to at the moment. So
do you not have three Liverpool players?
No, not at the moment, which is probably where I'm going wrong. But I want three Liverpool players,
right.
And for that reason, I think I'm going to actually act on this and bring him in this week and see how it goes. It will free up a lot of spare cash to maybe beef up my forward line moving forward, if he delivers, of course.
Fingers crossed. All right, Lee.
So my essential differential is Leandro Trossard from Brighton. So a lot of this is down to actually the opposition for this game week is Watford. I do believe the new manager bounce at Watford has gone very flat, actually. Last couple of games, they've conceded five in the last two. So three against Everton, two against Aston Villa. So I do think the Watford defence is now, you can now get at those guys. Trossard is 0.6% team selected by 5.8 million. So, you know, reasonably, not even mid-price, that's pretty cheap, right? Much better at home than he is away, actually. His home form is pretty good. 19 points in his last three home games.
Wow.
And 10 points last time out against Villa, a goal and three bonus points. So I do expect Brighton to win that game. They themselves as a team are better at home as well. And the last thing I'll say on him is that Morpai was rested in the West Ham game. So Glenn Murray got, I think, more or less the full game. Not expecting that to happen again this game week. I think Morpai's had the rest. He's going to come back in. He'll be finishing off the chances that Trossard and Moy and co are creating.
Why, Jack's been nodding wildly through that. Jack, are you inspired to get Trossard into your team?
No, I'm just being polite.
Thanks, Joe.
Lee, go for it.
Really?
Are you going to get it? Are you going to get Trossard in?
I might do. The only thing I will say is that Brighton's fixtures, you know, after Watford at home, it's Sheffield United away. That's tricky.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace at home, I do like the look of. Mm. And then Wolves away. So it's middling to say at best, really, for Brighton.
Right. In a relegation scrap, of course, the Seagulls currently. Well, some interesting suggestions there. In a second or two, we'll catch up with the last-minute moves that the panel are preparing and also who is going to be wearing Adrian's armband. Adrian, you just wildcarded. That was last week, not this week here, yeah? Mm. So this week, have you made a transfer already or
no,
what?
I haven't made it. But I will make one,
yes.
Because Sterling is almost certainly out of the game against Manchester City. Now, at the moment, it's a 50-50 choice with Mahrez or Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who I've named as my essential differential. I will be making one of those two changes.
Which one should he make, Lee and Jack?
Trossard, probably.
No, seriously, what should I do?
Of the two, I think I'd want a Man City player for that West Ham game.
Yeah,
I just think with Oxlade-Chamberlain, you've got the possibility of Naby Keita coming in as well, who's coming back to fitness. So it's a bit of a rotation risk there. Mm. Having said that, Mahrez misses 28, so it's a short-term pick.
Yeah, and in terms of the armband, I didn't give it to Salah last time. I don't know if I'm prepared to risk it again. It's either Salah away at Norwich or Aubameyang at home to Newcastle. Yeah, I'm going to leave it to the last minute.
Listen to your heart, Adrian.
No, don't, because his heart says Aubameyang, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Lee, what about you? Transfer-wise?
Haven't decided yet, but I think the Lord reluctantly has got to go. Mr. Lindstrom
really,
is probably on the way out.
And who'll be coming in for him?
Well, I'd like to make a straight switch to Sheffield United and maybe look at Ender Stevens, whose heat maps are very encouraging. I mean, he's a very progressive fullback, but again, we go back to the fact that he doesn't play in 28, so am I setting myself up for a fall? I mentioned before, earlier in the show, about Willy Bolly. I do like Willy Bolly. I think he'll make a big difference for Wolves. Three of their next four at home as well, despite being against reasonably difficult opposition, I think that'd be good. So Lundstrom to Bolly, I think, is on for me, and the armband is absolutely on Mo Salah.
Makes sense, Jack.
Salah captain, yes, and I've made my change earlier than usual.
Right,
I might admit that I forgot that Southampton were playing in the FA Cup in midweek.
Right,
But I felt I had to take Soyuncu out just because he was dropping in price and I wouldn't start him in the next two game weeks anyway. I was tempted to bring in another Sheffield United defender, but as Lee rightly said, that blank game week is just a reason not to.
So you've gone with the Southampton defender?
Yeah, I've put Jack Stevens in there.
Okay.
He's done really well recently and I'm actually disregarding the attacking returns because when you look at especially centre-backs, it can be tempting to see a centre-back who's... So he's got two assists and a goal in his last six game weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's tempting to read too much into that, but actually the defensive returns underlying that are what interest me. Southampton's defence isn't amazing, but they've got some really nice fixtures. Three out of the four next ones are at home. They do play when other teams blank and they've got a reasonable fixture that week, which is West Ham away. And yeah, a bit of a money saving from Soyuncu, which will hopefully give me more options in the weeks ahead.
He's a good pick, nice. And you definitely shouldn't underestimate those attacking returns. That long diagonal ball is something that he, in the same way that kind of Toby Alderweireld does for Spurs, that's something that they look to Jack Stevens to play in, the likes of Redmond and Ings between the lines. So, you know, you might get more assists than you think with him.
Bit of breaking news for you, James. I've made that transfer.
Have you?
I've gone Mahrez. Yeah,
you went Mahrez?
Yeah, just gone
Mahrez. While the show was happening?
Yeah, the boys persuaded me. I looked into the eyes of you know, top-ranking Jack Lang over there.
Right.
And I just trusted him.
It's not often itchy, trigger-fingered James Richardson looks at someone yes, disapprovingly. And I'm not sure this will come across in the audio, but it's outrage bordering on disgust. Yeah.
Did it show?
It
very
did.
Much so, yes.
Right, okay. Brilliant. If you want more FPL content as you build your team towards game week 26, then check out FPL Show and FPL FYI by heading over to PremierLeague.com. Of course, we'll be back here next week, which is effectively midway through game week 26. We'll be looking at chips and wild cards and all sorts of other tips ahead of the final run-in. The decisive weeks. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Pleasure.
Best of luck with that transfer and the rest of your squad.
Appreciate it.
Many thanks to you, Lee. Give your other half our best regards.
I will. Thank you, James. Right.
And lovely to see you, Jack Lang.
You too, James. Thank you.
Magnificent. We're here next week. I hope you are too. Have a great weekend, FPL Manager. From all of us here for now, it's goodbye.